Let's continue with the general theme of Birkas Chatzanim and need for minyan and almon v'almona. Let's do those first. So I was basically trying to suggest the idea that the Rambam Shita and Birkas Chatzanim is very challenging, as we discussed. His view of requiring the bracha kodem, or the chuppah, is, drew a lot of attention and a lot of suggestions from the Beis Yosef, from the Ran, and so on. And I was adding to that, in addition to that challenging view, there are two other things to integrate into the Rambam. One is the fact that he, seemingly feels a need to preclude the fact that the brachos would be ma'akev, which is strange, because brachos in general are not ma'akev. I mentioned the Tosas HaRosh and Brachos Tezvavim and Aleph, which said that if Birchas HaMitzvah had been Doraisa, maybe it would be Ma'akev, and then maybe it would affect if you were Mafrish Trumas HaMaisos without a Bracha, it would remain Tebel, which is controversial anyway, because as the Achronim point out, maybe it wouldn't be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Afrashas Truma, but it wouldn't really be Tebel. But anyways, that's not for now. That's for Yom HaAtzmaut or something. So what did we decide? Are we having Yom HaAtzmaut here? We are. For sure, right? Okay, so that's on schedule. What? Braun. Okay, good. So so maybe we'll talk about that then, or something like it. But generally, Birchas HaMitzvah is not Ma'akev, so, the Beis Yosef idea that becomes strange. Moreover, Birchas Shevach V'Hodar generally not Ma'akev, certainly either, and they're usually after the fact. So what is this idea of the Rambam that, don't think, why would anybody think, that Birchas Nisuin would be Ma'akev? Moreover, the idea that that they could be a Tachlif, that instead of doing a Chuppah, you could just, say the Birchas Nisuin, and that would be enough, that's also a huge Chiddush. Heichan Matzinu, that whether we're talking about Birchas Shevach V'Hodah or Birchas HaMitzvah, that, saying the bracha is instead of doing the mitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah, obviously, that makes no sense. Or that Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, let's say, you don't have to do the Bris Milah, you only have to say, the Birchas Shevach V'Hodah part of it. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. So, what was the Rambam trying to accomplish? That's point number two in the Rambam, you could say. And point number three in the Rambam is the Rambam's editorial decision to split up Birchas Nisuin under the Chuppah with Birchas Nisuin during Shivas Yimei HaMishnah. Now again, I want to be as honest as possible, one always should be, in all of this. I'm very excited about it, but I don't want to mislead. It is, of course, possible that this is more a function of just efficient organization and the reality that this is a hosafa to Birchas HaMazon in Shivas Yimei HaMishnah. It's certainly also that. I'm just pointing out that, is that a good enough reason for the Rambam to deal with this in Hilchos Brachos and not in Hilchos Yishus? But, Mashal Amad Avadome, I should just add, I think I gave shir on Hanukkah. I'm trying to remember in the Beis Medrash or somewhere, I think I mentioned that, the Rambam doesn't deal with Alanisim in Hilchos Chanukah, right? Which I thought was very striking, and I think it's a good example of this in both directions, on the need to be careful and tempered and honest, but at the same time to maybe draw conclusions that notwithstanding, a sufficient explanation, there's a bigger picture here. So my point is that when the Gemara says about my Hanukkah and Shabbos, and Rashi says that the Gemara is referring, the Hodah part of the Gemara is referring to the saying of Alanisim, so one of the things I was trying to say is Rambam clearly didn't read that way. That's clear if you look at Hilchos Chanukah, but not only that, he didn't even put Alanisim in Hilchos Chanukah. He put it in Hilchos Brachos. So again, it's a good example, meaning I don't think you can argue that Alanisim is so central when it doesn't even make a doesn't even crack Hilchos Chanukah. At the same time, we do understand that he put it in Hilchos Brachos and Tvila because it is a Haskara in Birchas HaMazon, and it's a Haskara in tefillah. Similarly, you know, the Rambam here, chose to deal with these, you know, dinim in Hilchos Brachos. So again, it, you know, it's a good parallel. But in both cases, I would argue that while it's sensible and there are patterns to it, there's still a bigger pattern, and that is the Rambam making a very interesting, you know, editorial decision, which implies that he thinks that not only does it belong also in Hilchos Hamazon, but it doesn't really belong so much in Perikei D'Chasishas. And here I would just add, again, and I'm speculating because you could always argue and say, no, he just thinks it belongs there for efficiency reasons, that's when you do it, and so on and so forth. Now, just add that either reinforcing what I'm saying or reinforcing the other view, the fact that the Rambam also dealt with Dine Simcha on Shivas Me Mishta in Hilchos Ishas, and the fact that he dealt with it not immediately after the Birchas Nisuin under the Chuppah, but a couple of halachas later, indeed after the Dine Ksuva, that's in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis, so that he not only split under the chuppah and after the chuppah of the brachos, but he also split after the chuppah's brachos from after the chuppah's simcha, is also quite interesting. And again, in all of these things, the point is that the Torah and Shulchan Aruch did not go along. The Torah and Shulchan Aruch deal with simcha and bracha after nisuin, together with their treatments of nisuin in Hilchos Isha, Simen Samach Beis. All of these things, to me, are part of a pattern, although I'm just trying to be honest and clear that there are ways to downgrade the significance of all of this. Okay. Having said that, so there's one more pattern, and that's what we were trying to, you know, to, at least I was suggesting, is the Mafteach, and that is that the Rambam, instead, and this is a subtle point, but a critical subtle point, instead of describing the norm as a situation where you have panim chadashos, and therefore you say all of the sheva brachos after the chuppah during the shivas me'mishta, which seems to be, you know, the way that, you know, historically we've always looked at it, right? How many people think, you know, oh, we're going to have, you know, sheva brachos, and you know, if some you know, if panim chadashos show up, I guess we'll have to do all seven, right? That's not the way anybody, you know, ever looks at it. They always look at it that, oh, you know, we have to make sure there's, you know, panim chadashos so we can do it properly. So is that just, you know, an eager excitement, you know, to reenact or to add the brachos? No, I think it's because the Gemara originally, you know, presented that if you don't have panim chadashos, you know, there's nothing. In other words, a precondition for saying sheva brachos during Shivas Me'mishta is having panim chadashos. Then later on, when the Gemara says, if you don't have panim chadashos, by the way, it's not nothing, you say asher bara, so most Rishonim, I think, were of the opinion, and historically, the way that people have always looked at it is, all right, you know, what can we do? We can't do it, you know, fully, properly, and ideally, but at least we could say, you know, Birchas Asher Bar. But in my opinion, the Rambam didn't read the Gemara that way at all. What he read was that the norm and the typical and appropriate way to have Sheva Brachos is to say the Bracha of Asher Bara. Of course, if Panim Chadashos show up, that's a different story, and that's an added dimension. That is the, you know, exception. Again, I'm not talking about how ragil it is, meaning how often this happens. I don't care about that. What I mean is conceptually, what is the exception and what is the rule? So if that's true, so then it's not just, you know, the other things that we've noted. That's a huge difference. That's a whole different configuration. You don't have even seven shavarachas. The norm, you know, the real principle is birchas hashabara. That's quite remarkable. And then we add to that two other points, and that is the two other points, I'll say. Number one is, you know, or three other points. Again, we're not sure about the nuschos, right? Did the Rambam really repeat all the brachos or not? Right? That's a different kisveyad. If he did, that's quite remarkable. If he did, and there are different chasimos, which seems to be the view of some of the mfarshim, that's even more remarkable. That's almost like a walking advertisement that, you know, you have the same, you know, this looks pretty similar, but the context is different, and that changes, you know, some of the applications. You know, that means very similar, and subtly, importantly, different. Again, that'd be very exciting. I'm not sure whether that's the mainstream view in the Kisvei Yad or anything else, but there are people who understood the Rambam this way. So I just don't want to discount it, and I do admit that it, you know, makes things more exciting. How likely it is that that's really what the Rambam wrote, I don't know. Probably less than 50%, given the Kisvei Yad, Light of the Frankel. But in addition to that, the Rambam's repetition, but again, subtle change in his exclusion of Avadim and Ketanim, where again, in Perek Yud Chzishos, they're excluded Betoras Minyan. And in the context of Hilchos Brachos, they're excluded as people who can make the Bracha. Again, the custom mission says, oh, it's the same halacha, kol shekain. I'm not sure it's a kol shekain, and I'm not sure it's the same halacha. Now, again, on a purely technical level, an additional point is that the Rambam only mentions the requirement of a minyan when he talks about panim chadashos and repeating all seven brachos. And then he says, you need a minyan, and you need, and the chasam is min a minyan, which is exactly what he says in Perek Yud of Hilchos Ishos. There's a big debate among the Rishonim, which we're going to discuss as part of our next topic, or tomorrow topic. What do we say tomorrow is? At 1 o'clock?
Tomorrow's
at 1 o'clock. It's not Wednesday. It's not Sunday. It's on Thursday, right?
It's a Monday.
It is. It's Monday, but for us it's different.
Right.
Okay. Anyways, so the point is, I don't know if this affects, you know, Columbia. Does it affect Columbia too? I say that Columbia's changes their schedule based on what?
It would be nice.
Yeah, and that's the way things should be. anyway, the point is that the if you assume in the Rambam that unlike the Ramban, that Asher Bara does not require a minyan. So again, on a purely technical level, you say, well, the exclusion of Ketanim and Avadim from the minyan in Perek Yud Chzishos, right, is has to be restated in the context of Hilchos Brachos, right? And there, it's only going to be applicable in terms of who can make the bracha. But again, you know, how do we know really that this parallel exists? And is it possible, you know, again, that in this subtle change, as part of the Rambam's, you know, we're in a different stage now. We're post chuppah. Moreover, I'll just say one other thing. If indeed it is true that the Rambam, unlike the Ramban, thinks that Asher Bara can be recited without a minyan, so it's quite interesting that Asher Bara's special status, right, doesn't in any way register in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishos, by which I'm asking, and we'll get to this in a couple of minutes. One could have raised the following question. That is, if you need a minyan for the brachos, for Sheva brachos under the chuppah, right? So what happens if you can't get a minyan? Should you say Asher Bara? Again, there's no issue of panim chadashos, obviously, under the chuppah, because, you know, either that defines panim chadashos for everything, or at least, you know, until the second day or whatever, but the point is, no, obviously this is the event, this is the main event. So Panim Chadashos, which is where the Gemara mentions Asher Bara, is not a relevant factor. But what I'm saying is as follows: according to the Rishonim, a group of Rishonim, possibly the Rambam included, who think that in addition to being a standalone bracha without Panim Chadashos after the Chuppah, there's also no need for a minyan for Asher Bara. So this is an interesting question to raise. You can't get a minyan, right? You want to do the chuppah. Will you say Asher Bara? So again, if you hold like the Ramban, who says that Asher Bara also requires a minyan, this metzius doesn't get off the ground. There's no litmus test here. There's no way to test it. But according to other Rishonim who disagree, the Ran, the Tosas Rid, possibly the Rambam, sounds that way in the Rambam. So this is quite an interesting issue, meaning why, you know, does this not ever get discussed? Right? It can happen that you don't have a minyan. So there's a tshuva, the Rajba. Did I give you that tshuva to look at or not? I think I did, right? No? In the context of the need for 10? I didn't give you the... Yeah, right? And then the Pisrei tshuva, the Nor Bihuda. That was part of the Mar Makavos.
I think, yeah.
Right? Jonathan?
I don't remember. Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I'm not pressuring you. I did, right? Yeah. Okay. So the Tshuvas HaRajba discusses this question. The Tshuvas HaRajba raises the issue, if you don't have a minyan under the chuppah, can you say Asher Bara? Okay. But the Rambam, and let's assume for the moment that, again, the Diuk is correct, and the Rambam does not require minyan for Asher Bara, does not raise this question. So this would be a further interesting issue. Again, if the brachos under the chuppah and the brachos during Shevis Me'a Mishnah are fundamentally the same mechayiv, the same idea, so of course the Panim Chadashos part isn't going to register because, as we said, there's no metzias for that. But the minyan part could and should register. And the question is, why doesn't it? So again, that might be another subtle nafkamina, or subtle change. You know, if the Rambam is really telling us that the brachos afterwards, when we're not reenacting the chuppah, we're not reenacting the chuppah, the Rambam may be saying, there's no Asher Bara. And therefore there's no Asher Bara without the minyan either. Asher Bara is the default of brachos after the chuppah, when you have a proper chuppah. Okay. Anyways, that's the presentation. That's what I really want to suggest. Then, of course, the question arises, so if that's the case, how come the Hagdara of Panim Chadashos for the Rambam depends on the chuppah? If, you know, Birchas Chasanim after the chuppah are an independent mechayiv. So that's exactly my answer. The answer is, that might be misleading, but then it fits like a glove, because that's the whole point. The point is that when you have Panim Chadashos, that's when you get to reenact the wedding, and when you're reenacting the wedding, right, then you're saying all seven brachos. That's exactly the point. So, for example, let's say you had Panim Chadashos, I guess it wouldn't work, because either way you'd say the Asher Bara. You wouldn't have that Nafkamina. But the point is that's exactly the issue. Under those conditions, you're reenacting the wedding, and therefore it depends on the people who are standing at the chuppah. That's exactly the answer to the Ramach. Not despite the fact, but totally consistent with the fact that the Rambam does everything that he does. Okay. So if this is the sheet of the Rambam, so then the question is, so what did the bracha add to begin with? So the answer, I think, is not Birchas HaMitzvah, and not Birchas HaShavach V'Hodah, and not just a matir. Maybe something which adds to the mitzvah and adds to the matir, but not a bracha, betoras birchas mitzvah and a matir, but a haskara, very similar. Again, I mentioned mikra bikurim. I talked about Rabbi Gamliel. Again, those happen to be Ramban views. Ramban, in his discussion sefer mitzvos of the mitzvah of birchas haTorah, makes the comparison between these three institutions. Very fascinating. The Rambam does not, but what I'm trying to suggest is that sometime an accompanying parshanut, brings out the themes and contributes to the Hagdara. And here, in particular, because you have Erusin and Nisuin, and Nisuin is a davar de mimela, according to the Rambam, it's not a half of Kinyan stage two, right? It's the heter isha labala, but a de facto acknowledgement and recognition, and therefore triggering the onset of this new stage, because all of that is true. So some accompanying parshanut and shevach v'hodah, is appropriate. And that's exactly what I think the brachos are. The themes of the brachos are a way of celebrating, commemorating, but also creating, this new effect. And that's why the Rambam has to tell you two things. Number one, it's not ma'akev, because it wouldn't be ma'akev as a bracha, but it might be ma'akev because chuppah, to begin, how do you define chuppah, right? So that's number one. And number two, it's not ma'akev and it's not either a substitute. Why would it be? The answer is because the nature of what chuppah is and the reason that these brachos are contributing in this way are consistent with it either being ma'akev or a substitute. And the answer is that both of these are not true. But both of them are not true And you don't therefore say, and therefore this whole pshat and this whole perspective is wrong, despite the fact that these are the kiyumim and these are the additional elements, right? Nonetheless, it's not ma'akev and it's not a substitute. Okay? But it is something which, in the context of panim chadashos, to replay for everybody else would be a wonderful and great thing to do. Okay. And if this is the case, so, we can understand it much better. So Gabe brought to my attention the language of the Rambam. You have it with you in Moreh Nevuchim? This is, the Rambam in Gimel Mem Tes. So there, the Rambam is, contrasting, and the heavy emphasis there is on Kadesha, as I recall, right? He's trying to say, you should know, Ishus isn't Kadesha, and we go out of our way to negate any association with Kadesha. He has a very practical and pragmatic things, reasons why he's, so anti-Kadesha. As we know, the Rambam Pshita was very idealistic, but in Moreh Nevuchim, he states everything in a much more pragmatic way. In my opinion, he's speaking to a different audience, but I don't think there's a stira in what he says. I just think he pragmatizes everything, and in Yad HaChazaka, it's meant to be much more idealistic. So in the context of that, he talks about Erusin as being Yichud Ha'isha, right, really singling out and making clear, that this is a unique and a singular relationship, and a long-term one, and Kenyan. And then he talks about Chuppah. Yeah, go ahead. What are you reading? What language? Arabic? He's reading from the Arabic? You're not sure?
What?
You're not sure if you're reading from the Arabic? Say again?
Schwartz. Schwartz.
Who's Schwartz?
Schwartz.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with Schwartz. I know Friedlander and Penis and I know Kapach and Ibn Tibbin. And okay, there's Schwartz. Yeah, go ahead. Slow. The Yichud part was good for the Erusin. Go ahead. Say one more time. Shenemar? Right. Which is very interesting, right? Meaning he emphasizes the fact that the chuppah is done, in the context of the minyan. It sounds like, by the way, that the requirement, that's another point for us to talk about in a couple of minutes, the requirement of asara for the Rambam, right, is not a din in the brachos, in Moreh Nevuchim anyway, it's a din in the chuppah. Correct? Anyways, he doesn't speak about the requirement of Sheva Brachos there. Although, again, what's fascinating is that the Gemara's citation of Boaz, our Gemara's citation of Boaz, is actually in the context of not the Chuppah, but the Sheva Brachos. Right? Anyways, so I want to say two things here. So number one is, again, you could understand the Rambam in very pragmatic terms, and then it's very different from what we've been saying. Because here he's just saying that, you need to be mefarsim, and for practical reasons, everybody should know this isn't the Kadesha, and there shouldn't be, everybody should respect the boundaries of the marriage. He's certainly also saying all of that. Okay, I would just add that it's not a very far, it's not, never mind leap, it's barely a skip and a jump. Just to conceptualize that comment is very easy. And the way I would do it would be to say that, what we've been saying, which is a combination of two things. Basically, Nisuin, as we've said, is the anticlimax, meaning it's the goal, and it's the Dover Demimela that you reach when you do the proper, preparation. And part of that is that this Dover Demimela should be, identified and recognized and acknowledged. Right, it should be clear based on the symbolic act of chuppah, right, that you've reached this different stage. That's how we were trying to explain chuppah hainu yichud aroi labia for the round. There's no more obstacles, and therefore mimela, right, this is the symbol of that final stage. So similarly, is it important that, you know, that be mefursam, or that be yodua? I think the answer is it fits in very well. Yes, not just so that people won't make a mistake, but people not making a mistake and it being mefursam is consistent with, you know, the chaye ha'ishus in a factual manner really beginning and being initiated. That's number one. So I just think that's works in better with everything we know of the Rambam and Yad HaChazakah, and it's not inconsistent at all. It's just a deeper and more idealistic way to say pretty much, you know, the same thing and to contrast them. But in addition, I just think it's fascinating that he's quoting the Pasuk of Boaz to prove the Pirsum, when the Pasuk of Boaz, as I say, is used in the Gemara to explain that Birchas Chasanim require a minyan. Right. You get the impression, there are two points here. From the Rambam, you get the impression that the chuppah requires a minyan, right? Which goes to the question that I raised a minute ago about how maybe you should be able to say, like the Tshuva Sarajba's suffix, maybe you should be able to say Asher Bara and have a chuppah even when there's not a minyan. But if you say it's a din of the chuppah, right, then that's not likely, right? Even if you in theory were able to derive from Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos to Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus. But let me just take a second point, and that is, so it's fascinating that the Rambam thought that the Gemara's comment about Birchas Nisuin defines the Chuppah. So is that just because he doesn't think it makes sense in the context of the Bracha, and therefore really, really it's a din in the Chuppah? As we've just tried to explain it? Or is this very consistent with the diukim that we've been making? Namely, the Rambam projects the brachos as being, you know, very central, right? By telling you that they're not ma'akev, when you wouldn't think that they would be, and by telling you that they're not a tachlif for the chuppah itself, when you wouldn't think so. So now we're finding that the Rambam is taking the Gemara that says you need 10 for the brachos and just projecting it on the chuppah. Wow. The answer is totally consistent. And you don't need that after the chuppah when you do Asher Bara, because that's not the chuppah at all. But the idea here is that you need 10 for the chuppah, you need 10 for the birchas nesuin for the same reason, namely because the whole point here is that that's a kiyum in the chuppah.
Do you not say this is a function of Rambam's general affinity for Pshutosha Mikra, that he feels that this reading presents a Mora?
That's totally fine. You mean Vayikach Boaz and so on. Right. Totally fine, except that I would always add, here and everywhere else, that affinity for Pshutosha Mikra is not going to come at the expense of, or it's not going to be against the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right? So, in fitting that in with, in other words, if you ask me, how did the Rambam know, or why did he even think, or how did he think that he could just, you know, make a leap and get away with, you know, taking that pasuk, given the fact that the Gemara applies it to Birchas Nisuin, and given the fact that, you know, as a result, poskim discuss, can you have a chuppah without 10 and just skip out the brachos? So my answer will be, well, his global understanding of the Birchas Nisuin fit like a glove with all of that. So maybe, you know, if you ask me which came first, or did they all come, you know, together, I have no clue. Nor does it matter so much. But I like your comment a lot. I'm just, integrating it into what I think the Rambam's general view is and his view here is. And I think the consistency is amazing. Okay. Having said that, another comment that Gabe brought to my attention, and that is this idea that Panim Chadashos, you know, changes the Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos. So what do you need for Panim Chadashos in Perek... Oh, I forgot to bring language to the Rambam. What do you need for Perek... what do you need for Panim Chadashos? How many people do you need? So the Rambam uses a language of Rabim. You have it there, Tonya? In Perek Beis? No? Right, base halacha. You have it in brachos.
Oh,
you have ishus. Who has brachos open? Josh?
Yeah. Is it Ben what?
What?
Where is it?
Perek Beis, what is it? Halacha Yud? Is it Perek? It's Beis Yud, right?
Yeah.
You have it, Josh? So a lot of the Nosa Kalim noticed, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about Panim Chadashos, that what? That the Rambam used the language of Rabbit. Right?
Several people.
More than one.
More than one person.
Yeah. The question is, how many Panim Chadashos do you require? So they, the Nosa Kalim Alatar quoted the name of the Rambam, that the Rambam's language is Lashon Rabim, right? But you need two. Correct? That's already a big chiddush. However, Gabe brought to my attention that the Taz is a tshuva. Do you have it? What number is it? Simon? Lamed Vav? Was it? What? Okay. So do you have language with you? It doesn't matter. So you can look it up. It's the Taz in the Tshuva says a remarkable thing, and that is, Gabe? You need a minion, including the Chasan, which is also a bit of a Kiddush, because Im Kvar Az Kvar, you need a minion worth of Panim Chadashos, including the Chasan. The Im Kvar Az Kvar is okay, but if you need a minion, can you include the Chasan? I mean, he was obviously at the Chuppah. Okay, all right, but he's obviously not just a regular, we don't just need him for the minion. So he's the same Chasan. But the point is, that is very remarkable. It's a remarkable read in the Rambam to say that, you know, just because you need Rabim, maybe the Taz thought that, you know, if you need more than one, then the next number that you need is a minion. A minion that justifies all of this. But what I think it highlights, again, is two things. It's a remarkable shita. I don't, believe in it in the Rambam personally, but the Taz was of sufficient stature that we have to know how he understood the Rambam too. And I would say it underscores two things that we've been discussing. Number one, again, just how charig, just how exceptional is the saying of the full complement of brachos, right, during Shivas and Amishta, right? You need nine, a minion of Panim Chadashos, including the Chasan. That's quite remarkable. In other words, the more you think that, basically the default is that you says to say Sheva Brachos during the Shivas and Amishta. The only thing is, if you have the same crowd, it's getting a little old, or as we'll discuss in a minute, maybe we'll discuss that next. Maybe it's too Orach Ara-y, with the, quotes on the Orach Ara, as an adverb. But the point is you have to justify. So you need Panim Chadashos. But basically, the norm and the norm is to say, Sheva Brachos during the Shivas Ve'Mishta. So basically, one, maybe two, I'm not sure even if the two makes so much sense under those conditions. Maybe two is a more nikar, group. The truth is you can have a one, you can have a two, you can have a three, and then from there you're going to have to go to ten. Right? Again, one we understand. Two, is a rabbin. Three, especially in the context of Birkas HaMazon, the Zimun thing. There are Rishonim who think that Asher Bara, at least, we'll talk about that too, requires three. I mean, Shasimcha B'mono, of course, requires three. One, two, three, maybe, but ten, that's the next category, but anybody really think that? Anybody who thinks you need ten, it sounds like, again, this is, you really need to justify doing this. It's really exceptional. That's A. But B, of course, is it goes back to the point of the tzibor component in all of the celebration of this wedding. Right. That, and therefore you need a tzibur, that wasn't at the wedding. Again, this goes in one direction and not in the other. If you hold like the Taz, I think it points to this. If you don't hold like the Taz, you know, I still think that, you know, added individuals who weren't at the wedding because of their part of Klal Yisrael are still connected, you know, to this wedding, justifying perhaps the, you know, the reenactment and even Birchas HaMitzvah for the Beis Yom, the things that we discussed already. This justifying some of the themes, the Shakol Barol Lechlodo, some of the other issues that we'll talk more about. But for the Taz, I think it's very, very salient. Yeah. Did a question, Josh?
Yeah, just in further defense of the Taz, I think from the Lashon Rama, he says he's talking about the Panim Parashot. He says V'hushi Yishiyu Asara.
Right, but the Pashtus is V'hushi Asara is also what we say regarding under the Chuppah for the saying of Birkas Hasanim. Now, of course, there it is of people who have never been, but the Pashtus is you need a minion. Not necessarily you need 10. No, he definitely reads it that way. What? Yeah, no, 100%. That's for sure the way he's reading it. I'm just saying, legally, it's a big chiddush. And in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that you need panim chadashos, otherwise you only say asher bara, I'm just saying it's a huge extreme. It goes from, you know, we practically thought that, you know, you'll never just say asher bara, right? You know, and it's, you know, if you can't muster even one panim chadashos, you know, you only say asher bara. So going to saying, you know, if you don't have a minion, you know, a full minion of panim chadashos, you're only going to say asher bara. That's a huge leap. Now, where does he get it from? That language exactly what you're talking? 100%. I'm saying, why doesn't that bother me when I say I don't believe in it? Because, you know, that could just be referring to the need for the minion. You know, to justify it. Not a minion of panim chadashos. Although he does, for sure, speak about more than one panim chadashos, which I think, either way, is mechudash. Maybe Rabbi Avraham Rambam is right, maybe, you know, it goes back to Shasimcha B'mono and the need for three. Is it one, two? Probably not one in the Rambam. Most Rishonim, it's one. For the Rambam, it's either two or three or ten. Either one, any of those is remarkable. The ten is the most remarkable. Yeah. Yeah, no, I did, but that's the idea that, you know, that it's the odd, it's they're justifying. That's, I mean, it's consistent with this. Yeah, no, if I didn't emphasize it, I apologize. That's absolutely what I was referring to, and that's why I was asking. You know, I was saying two things. Number one, the Ramak said, well, why does Panim Chadashos depend on who is at the Chuppah if this is a totally independent Mechayev? Right, should depend on who was, you know, at the first Suda post, because the whole point is that the Rambam is saying Hailachud v'Hailachud. That's one thing we're trying to answer. And then the other thing, if I didn't mention it, I certainly intended to, but I thank you, is the language of Bishvilam. I mean, it's, you're doing it if you're playing to the crowd, so, you know, you're not doing that when you're saying Asher Bara, right? You're not. It's not Bishvilam. The answer is here, it's for the people who weren't at the wedding. That's what I mean by the reenactment. 100%. Yeah.
So I would just add that if you wanted to say that there was like one individual or not anyone who's not 10, you would say im hayu min ha'ochlin, so and so people who never heard before. He says im hayu ha'ochlin, the critical mass, all of them. Then if they were lo shaman, then you can make all seven. The fact that he doesn't say min ha'ochlin.
Right, but it doesn't have to be all the ochlin either. I mean, you want to justify this task.
Yeah. Then why? Okay. Why say im hayu ha'ochlin?
You know what? In terms of excitement, we don't pasuk like it either way. You know, I think if it were true, I'd be very happy. It definitely reinforces, you know, two themes which I consider to be very true in the Rambam. I just still think it's a bit of a radical read, but I'm not going to argue too strenuously. The Taz is certainly prominent enough that his reading, you know, registers. And if, you know, some of you are also convinced, despite how mechudash it is, even better. So I'm not going to argue too strenuously. I just still, if you want to know my honest opinion, I still think it's mechudash. I don't think you need to go that far, but okay. To contrast the Shitas Rambam just for a minute, if you hold the Rambam's view is based on the Ran, namely that this is all about the Matir, Heter Isha Labala, etc., you know, Kalab Labrocha, Asur Labala Kanida, so just interesting to note that the most of the Nosa Kalim went that way with it, not the Beis Yosef way, and certainly not my way. My way is, I think not. I've never seen it formulated anywhere else, but I really, really believe that it's shot in the Rambam, to be honest. But and I think it fits in with the most issues. But the Beis Shmuel in the beginning of Siman Samach Beis has a ha'ara where he says you know, that we who practice like the, you know, we practice chuppas nida, right, which the Rambam, as we know, was strongly opposed to. So the Beit Shmuel says, if we, to be consistent, paskin, that there can be chuppas nida, then we also should not be makbid that the birchas nisuin should come prior to the chuppah, because that's the Rambam's lishitasa, and we don't accept that part, we shouldn't accept the other part either. That's just, you know, concrete following through application of the Ran's idea, that the Beit Shmuel says, yeah, Enochanami, that's what it is, we don't paskin that way, you can make the brachos afterwards. The Gaonim, in the Otsar Gaonim, there appears a shita that says that in Achanami, in principle, you should make Birchas Chasanim prior. But we don't, because it's not appropriate to say Mesameach Chasan im Hakala, as long as there's an Iser, a lingering Iser of Arus Varusa. It's only once there's no Iser Arus Varusa that we should be able to say the words Mesameach Chasan im Hakala. That's a little mechudash too, but that's an interesting perspective that we should be aware of. There's also another interesting issue, and that is a discussion of Rishonim which we have to come back to, and that is regarding the Minhag of Yehuda. When they were practicing the Minhag of Yehuda, you know, to be miyached the kala with the chasan in advance, you know, not bebeis hachasan. So we're not sure exactly what that means. We still have to talk about that, and that may matter. To the next point, but the Tosrid and the Ritva both have interesting discussions. If you do Minhag Yehuda, should you say Birchas Nisuin, Birchas Chasanim under the Chuppah, is it a Bracha Levatala, or is it Lo Gara May Shiva Simei Mishnah upon him Chadashas? Okay? So, again, partly it depends on physically what happens there. Is it a heter bia? Is it a heter yichud? Is it only a heter bia, but not an additional heter yichud? Is it only a heter yichud? You know, what is Minhag Yehuda? That's question number one. That's certainly surely consequential. And how we understand what it accomplished. If somehow Minhag Yehuda in one way or another is a matir, or it's the nisuin in advance, so then the possibility that you don't want to repeat a takas achuppah because it's a bracha levatala makes a lot of sense, right? If it's not the hagdah, if it's not the nesuin, or it's not a matir, right? So then the idea that you know, you would still make the bracha under the chuppah would be very reasonable, even without saying lo gara mishiva simei mishta. If you think that the brachos under the chuppah and the brachos la'achara chuppah are identical, not because they're reenactment, like we were saying, always, like the Ran always thinks, perhaps, or like the Rambam thinks in a case where there's enough panim chadashos, but because, like the Raivin and Tmim Deim, and like the Ran, because you think they're birchas shevach v'hodah, and just, you know, it's there are certain times when we encounter and we're in the throes of this mitzvah, when it's just appropriate to say them, then probably the argument that logara mila'achar makes a lot of sense. Okay? So I'm just saying the different perspectives that we've been discussing, what these brachos are and what happens in Minhag Yehuda, that combination is going to determine this question in the Rishonim. Yeah. Afushe Simcha will apply to both. Well, you mean you're saying that Tosas Rid may think that really the brachos under the chuppah may serve some other function, but in addition there's also an Afushe Simcha, so it's logara, not because birchas chuppah and whatever in general are connected, but because it's not worse than making the brachos afterwards as a separate mechayev. Okay, very good. That's a very possible read in the Tosas Rid as well. Okay. Good. Now, okay. So this idea in the Rambam, this comprehensive way of looking at the Rambam Shita, as we say, also carries with it the issue of splitting Simcha and Bracha. Again, as I said before, That might be for purely pragmatic reasons, you know, and that is, you know, Birchas Hamazon and so on, and the saying of the Brachos. But either way, I thought it was interesting that the Rambam deals with Simcha in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis, whereas he deals with, again, not right contiguous to the Chuppah, after Ksuva, actually, which is fine, because chronologically, that means we're dealing with after the Chuppah, right, in Perek Yud, but with Bracha in Hilchos Brachos. If that is significant, so I just wanted to raise another interesting question. And that is relating to one of the issues that we spoke of. Mentioned Machlokes in Tshuvas HaRosh and Rabbeinu Yerucham, right? And in general, you know, part of this big question, what is the relationship between the Chuppah and Shivas Yimei HaMishnah? Right, we talked about Ibchalo, and we talked about Hagdara of Panim Chadashos, and you know, we talked about the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yerucham, how you define the 7 days. Do they begin at the Chuppah? Do they begin afterwards? Do they begin at the first of the days and of the Seuda? A number of issues. So is it possible in that respect, according to the Rambam, to split the Brachos from the Simcha, and there would be Nafkamina. In other words, is it possible that the 7 days Inyan Brachos depend on the first Suda, but that the Din of Simcha, which the Rambam deals with in Hilchos Ishus, are more Noveya from the Ishus itself? Something to think about. In other words, we'd split Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Rosh regarding that. Then, of course, it becomes even more important to know what is Bracha and what is Simcha. We're going to get back to that, hopefully, if not today, then tomorrow when we finish up with this. Most are shown with the opinion that Simcha, at minimum, includes Isra Malacha, right? Because the Gemara ties it to Shaktu of Amana on Hei Amad Aleph, Yashkim L'Malachto. So certainly Lisa Velitain, and to go in and to go to work, that's certainly included in Simcha. The question is, what else is included in Simcha? So the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis assumes that Mishte. Anybody have language Yud Yud Beis? Jason, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I think it's Yud Yud Beis. Sticks out of my mind. So the Rambam there adds Simcha Umishta as well. And we'll see that not everybody agrees. There's an interesting question in light of this. Again, if we get to it today, great. If not, we'll finish up tomorrow with this. What about Shasimcha Bemona, and what about Asher Baruch? Which is a dual question, obviously. A, the scope of Simcha versus Bracha, and also, you know, what is the nature of Asher Baruch and Shasimcha Bemona, the standout Brachos, you know, where do they go on the list of things? But not all Rishonim agree about the Simcha part. It's also interesting to note that when the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, you know, speaks about Bracha, and he contrasts, you know, Alman, Almana, etc., he uses slightly different language. Adam, pick up on it? Well, again, Tuvia, what was the language that he used here?
He says,
yeah. What did he? How does he call Almon or Almana? What does he call her?
Beula.
It's interesting that in Hilchos, again, I could be making more of it than it is. Maybe I'm just hypersensitive now. Yaakov's saying yes, you are making more of it than it is.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. So, but it's something to note. Again, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't paskin differently based on it, but in Hilchos Brachos, what does he have, Yaakov? In Hilchos Brachos?
Brachos, he has Amana.
Amana. So, yeah.
So, paskin, the knowledge paskin at Lava, meaning she's Bula, not in Amana.
Yeah, Bula and Almana. Because in the Rishonim here, it's interesting. The Sugya speaks about Almana and Almana. And Almana, Bachar Almana, and so on. But the Rishonim, note that some of them note that it's really Bula, including Bali Tosas, right? The Tosa talks about Rus, right? More Bible credit. Because she was not really an Almana, right? Because she was a Gioris, but she was a Ba'ula. So it's just interesting, again, since my antennae are very, focused on these differences, so it could be more than, but especially if there's a difference between, it's interesting to note, in other words, is there a difference between Simcha and Bracha, and maybe, in one issue really is, as I say, Almana, and in Simcha, really the issue is Ba'ula. That would be an interesting additional question. Okay. Possibly, before we go back to Almon V'Almana and sum that up, possibly this also could relate to the question of the need for a minyan, as we discussed. So let's talk about the need for a minyan for a couple minutes, and then we'll go back to Almon V'Almana, because it relates to that. So as we noted, right, the Gemara here on Zayin Amud Beis requires a minyan. And we also just discussed whether or not that requirement is just for the brachos, or it's really a din and chuppah. I was making the suggestion that the Rambam and Mardavuchim is conflating those two things, and it's significant for both. It's because Dafka, he has the view that the Birchas Nisuin play a more substantive, descriptive role, albeit not as a substitute, not as a ma'akev, but could have been, that he's able to make the sleep. Fine. But the Pashtus, the Gemara speaks about it in terms of the brachos, and the Gemara has two suggestions. Aminadav, what are the two suggestions of the Makar? In the Gemara. Right, for a minyan. From Boaz, correct. And the other is B'makelos Berech Elokim Hashem Mimakor Yisrael. Okay. So, and then the Bali Tosas have a third suggestion. Just want to go through this quickly. What's a third suggestion, Isaac? Rivka. And then Bali Tosas, if you read that Tosas very quickly for us, it's an interesting little Tosas. Or the story of Rivka. Also. So that's interesting, right? Is the story with Rivka and the requirement of bracha there, is that Birchas Erison or Birchas Nisuin? Go ahead. Yesh lumad misham. So wait a second, what do you make of that? Just we should make a quick comment about that. Again, we're steering clear mostly from Dinei Birchas Erison, because we did it pretty thoroughly time. But this is just an important tosis to acknowledge, right, Isaac? Yeah, and especially in light of, you see what's going on here, that sometimes, and this is a very important Musar HaSkel for us all, and that is that sometimes when you understand when you have better background in terms of what's going on in the Rishonim, right, you can really appreciate further the kind of aside comments, the Agav Urcha comments, that Rishonim make, right? Because as we discussed in Provence, this is a big issue and a big idea that maybe when the Kiddushin takes place on Yidei Shlichos, even though we say Bo Yosem B'Shluchos, so the Pashtus, it just means, there's reason or something like that, right? But there are no Nafkamina, seemingly. But some of the Chachmei Provence and the Ravid quotes us in Tzimdeim and then the Rivash and others think that when you're Mekadesh Shalidei Shliach, there's no Birchas Erusin. Some think there's no Birchas Erusin. Some think you wait for the Birchas Erusin and you integrate it with the Birchas Nisuin. I was using this to try to highlight the idea that there are two dinim in Birchas Eirusin. You can have Birchas Eirusin just as a kinyan and an oser, or you can also have it as a matir and as part of the, you know, heter isha labala. The idea is that the more you see this as a formal transaction, right, well, all transactions could be aide shliach, basically. You know, but if we're talking about it as part of tchilas haheter and part of the relationship between them, that's a kind of a davar shebegufo. So by saying, oh, there's no birchas eirusin, and you do the birchas eirusin b'shas hachuppah, right, or by saying that, you know, taking the view that you would make the birchas eirusin again and it wouldn't be a bracha levatala, but basically these rishonim are saying is that there are two dinim, and it depends how you do it. That's why some of them also say, fascinating, and this is relevant to us, because I mentioned at the time Rabbeinu Yerucham and others who say that maybe there are other nafkamina. For example, how distant is the eirusin from the nisuin? Maybe that dictates certain dinim changes. Or, a third issue, is there a minyan, right, when you do the eirusin, right, or not? Right? So, like, why should any of these things have any substantive impact? Right, but what they may determine is how we look at the relationship between Eirusin and Nisuin. Do we look at them as two completely different types? Again, one the Kinyan, the Osa, the formality, but no Heter Isha Labala, no Simcha, right? No Shevach Vahoda, no Dover Shebekdusha, you know, transaction. But if you do it, if you do it personally, or you do it closer to the Nisuin, or you do it with a minion, right, that makes it, turns it into a Moed Katan, you know, Daf Yud Ches Havamina type of Eirusin. I mean, the one that is, you know, the step before the ultimate Simcha and the, you know, the denouement of Avishas, the, you know, the climax of Avishas, right, the Chuppah. So, like, no one ever said that, you know, that would dictate, you know, how you say the Birchas Eirusin, and, you know, whether the Eirusin comes before the Chuppah or the Chuppah comes before the Eirusin. But if anybody ever finds anybody who does say something like that, please let me know, because I will be very excited. Right. So this idea that, you know, maybe Birchas Eirusin depends on whether or not you did this on Yidei Shlichus, and of course that's a whole different meaning to Bo Yosef Shlucha, Bo Yosef Shlucha, because now it no longer means, you know, Zrizus or something like that. Now it means, oh, there are two modes of Eirusin, right? One, the impersonal one, and the other personal one. One which is more fused with the Nisuin is a single process. The other, where they're both standalones, you know, and sharp contrast. So that's, of course, what Tosus is referring to. It's just interesting, in other words, in Provence, when the Rambam said this in Perek Gimel, Hilchasishus, we also made note of it, meaning, you know, you could easily miss it, and that's why the Rambam is such an amazing work. Because you can just read the Rambam as saying, you know, you make the Birchas Eirusin, whether you do it Al Yidei Shliach or you don't make it Al Yidei Shliach. And if you don't know that there's some issue, you're just not even going to pick up on it. But once you know, this is like a raging, you know, debate or issue. So it's the Rambam saying, by the way, even when you do Al Yidei Shliach, you make Birchas Eirusin. And that's exactly what Tosfos here, I guess in many of the halachic cultures, this was an issue and a debate. So that's what Tosfos is saying here as well, when Tosfos says, "V'yesh l'ilmod misham sheyesh l'varich birchas eirusin l'isha miskadeshes l'yedei shliach." But what are they talking about? The answer is exactly this issue. Shahare Eliezer shliach haya. Okay. Then the Tosfos goes on, Isaac to say, "V'nira." Yeah. Okay. So, but we do know, just to fill in the blank for one more second, we do know, Isaac, that despite the notwithstanding Tosas, there is such a debate. Namely, whether you require a minyan for Birchas Eirusin. A debate between who and who? Or where does it appear? The Rush quotes it, correct. And the Rush actually likes the view that Birchas Eirusin does require a minyan, right? And that's a debate. Where's Rabbi the Riyanagid and the Shiltos, And the Bahag, there's a huge machlokas Rishonim where the Birchas Eirusin requires a minyan in the same way that Birchas Nisuin does, and it's just fascinating that the Rishonim, some of them formulate it that way. They say, well, Birchas Nisuin requires a minyan, so Birchas Eirusin should require it as well. Okay. It's interesting, the Torah Tmima, when he discusses this pasuk, quotes his Tosas, and he says, I don't even get to what the Bali Tosas are. Why, how can the Bali Tosas say this is talking about Eirusin? After all, it's the Zman of the Siras, you know, Ha'isha L'Shluche Habal. That's really what was going on with Rivka. So that's the Nisuin, right? That's the Nisuin, not the Eirusin. And then he goes on to say, but on the other hand, the, you know, the Chassan wasn't there, so how could it be Birchas Nisuin? Which is also an interesting issue. Right. So there's a debate which we're going to discuss in the next day or so as well. Can you make Birchas Nisuin right when the Chassan and Kala are not both present? Right? Is it sufficient to have one, either Chassan or Kala, but not both, right, for Birchas Nisuin purposes? What about Shasimcha B'mona, what Asher Bara, and what about the Sheva Brachos? Okay? So in the time of in the story of Rivka, right, you had the shliach of the Baal, right, but you didn't have the Baal. Presumably shlichus doesn't work. So the Bali Tosas implicitly saying that you know, it's sufficient to have one of the two protagonists in order to say Birchas Nisuin. That's basically what the Torah Tmima is saying. On the one hand, it's Mesiras Av L'Shluchei Abal. Doesn't seem like Eirusin. On the other hand, maybe it can't be Nisuin, because where's Yitzchak? Right? He's Lasuach Basadeh. So, this is an interesting discussion in general. It's at the Badekin, you know, the Minag is, to say the Pasuk, Achosenu Atayi La'alfei Revava, the pasuk that was said to we invoke the Rivka story at the Badekin, and some Rishonim, as you know, Shulti Giborim, Tosas Rid, others, are of the opinion that the Badekin is the Nisuin. So it's just an interesting issue. In any case, there are three possible Makoros for the Minyan. One is Boaz, the other is B'makelos Ercho Lekim Hashem Makar Yisrael, and the third one is this Rivka Makar. The Rivka Makar, as I say, is, you know, connected with this discussion of Tosis and other Rishonim, etc. Depending on which of these, yeah, sorry, Sean.
What does Sri break down also for Rovam, how you spell as a Makar?
As a Makar for 10,
yeah.
Excellent. And what does that tell us?
More than the Seaboard?
Yeah, but again, more of a quantitative thing, but right, okay. But maybe it's a din in the tzibur. Excellent. So good. That's exactly the point we wanted to get to next, and is what is the nature of this requirement of a minyan. So generally speaking, I think one can see four. One can identify four possible explanations for the requirement of 10. Okay. One, maybe the most ambitious, and they're not mutually exclusive either, I mean, some of them overlap a little bit. The one that's the most ambitious, Shua? That appear here in the Farshim al Atar. They didn't see this part yet? Anybody see it? Am I ahead of the Marmakomos? A little bit? Or I'm just doing it this way because it's a little easier, but.
Shono? The Gonim?
Yeah.
Dovrshe
Yeah. The Gonim have this view, and it's quoted in Shidimu Kubatzes, right?
Yes.
That it's a Dovrshe B'Kedusha. That's quite remarkable. We, in our mind, we associate Dovrshe B'Kedusha with, you know, Kaddish and Kedusha, you know, things of that sort. Not necessarily Birchas Nisuin. But it's very ambitious. And I would say even inspirational to say that you need a minyan for Dovrshe B'Kedusha. That this is a Dovrshe B'Kedusha. Now, how do you define Dovrshe B'Kedusha in general? very challenging to try to figure out. Borchu, Kedusha, Kaddish, hard to say. The Rav has, you know, some interesting comments on this, but different things in different times. If you look at the, you know, the things that they published in the last number of years, they published on the Yomim Noraim, the Machzorim. It talks a lot about why it is, you know, that you stand up for certain, you know, piyutim or certain parts of the tefillah in Yom Noraim. So the Rav always used to say that it's not because of the psichas ha'aron, because the aron and the Sifrei Torah are really in a separate rishus generally, right? Usually on the bima, which is, you know, rishus b'fnei atzmo. So it's not, you don't stand up because that's open. It's open for the same reason that you stand up. So that, I think, is a very good ha'ara, meaning it's a kind of a dover shebekdusha, and that's why you stand up, and that's why it's open. Again, it becomes a little tricky to apply some of these things, because again, the minhag of, you know, when you open the aron and when people stand up is very, very, very not uniform, we'll say. I wouldn't say it's haphazard, because we need to understand it, but hard to figure out, put it that way. So the Rav thought whenever, well, he used to say in these contexts at least, you just don't know how pressured it was to fit in with these things, whenever there's like an exchange or a responsive reading, you know, between, you know, the Shliach Tzibor and the Tzibor, you know, in Divrei Shevach to the Ravona Shalom, that's a kind of a Davar Shemikdusha. Very hard to fit that into all, you know, of these facts, but I think it's a very interesting perspective. Yeah.
Did he change the minhag based on this halacha?
Did
he not stand up at certain
parts? Well, Rav had his own, you know, what's that?
No,
he stood the whole time during Shemoneh Esrei anyway, because he always stood during Shemoneh Esrei, because he felt that every Shemoneh Esrei was Tfilas HaTzibor, not just the Shliach Tzibor, in other words, but Tfilas HaTzibor, and therefore he always stood during Chazar Sashatz with his feet together, and even in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the tefillah was very, 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 very long, you know, when he was healthy enough to do it, I think they say that he was Mater Neder, you know, in some of the last years, because he just couldn't do it. But, you know, nonetheless, he felt it was still tefillah Satzibor, so he stood. But, yeah, I mean, he had his own particular views about things he should stand for, aside from, you know, within the context of Shemoneh Esrei, in other words. But it's a very interesting idea. I mean, this idea that, you know, when there's a responsive, you know, like the, you know, like the Karazel Zev Yamar Kadosh 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 is really the paradigm of where he got it from. There's a lot to think about here. It's a very like a very insightful, powerful comment. Although it's hard to figure out exactly, you know, because a lot of things obviously that we do responsibly Shevach Vahodah, or we don't stand up, or Tweed as a Dover Shevach Kedusha. You could say, oh, you know, that's, you know, maybe that shouldn't be responsive, or that's more responsive for musical reasons, not for fundamental reasons. So I don't want to get into that now. Maybe before Yom Noraim, you know, some other year, we can try to figure it out. But I must bring it up because is this really a Davar Shebi Kedusha? Is really kind of what we're asking. The Birchas Eirusin, as we know, conclude with Mekadesh Yisrael, according to one Nusach, two Nuschos in the Rishonim in our Gemara, or Mekadesh Yisrael Alidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, right? And the Gemara does have the line here, right, on Zayin Amid Beis, which we talked about earlier in the year. Rashi and Tosas, and then later Rishonim, debate how to interpret, which is right, Man de lo chosim mid dehava birchas peros va birchas amitzvos. Man de chosim mid dehava a kiddusha. Right, so there's a big debate among the Rishonim here whether or not, you know, these refer only to the tsuros of the brachos, and, you know, bracha katsara, bracha ruka, how many themes. Again, if we have a chance, maybe we'll speak something about that too, a little bit. Very interesting things. This is certainly the view of some Rishonim, and the Ritva, I think, is the one who elaborates the most, that the view that says midi dehava kiddusha is trying to tell you not only in the tzura of the bracha, But the theme of the bracha, the motif, is one of really kedusha. And we mentioned earlier in the year that the Gonim already asked the question, and I think you just have to preface and add to the question. We have many brachos, most birchas hamitzvah, say, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav b'tzivanu. Meaning saying that, you know, performing these mitzvos is a function of the Rabbeinu Shalom being mekadesh, you know, and providing us an opportunity to do kedusha. But rarely do we have a chasimas habracha where the theme is kedusha, mekadesh Yisrael, or mekadesh al-yidei chupa v'kedushin. I think it's also an open question, and based on the Rishonim and the Girsa and the Gemara, whether it's even more impressive when you say Mekadesh Yisrael, or even more impressed, or more impressive when you say Mekadesh Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. In other words, you're Mefaret, so that takes away from, you know, the Mekadesh Yisrael, like, oh, this is the ultimate Mekadesh Yisrael. It's an example of Mekadesh Yisrael, or the example of Mekadesh Yisrael, or an example, but a specific one, Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. So that, I think, go either way. But either way, it's rare that we have a bracha, you know, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Barabim. You know, is a very powerful bracha. But rarely do we have, you know, in specific mitzvos, the Kaddish Yisrael as part of the Chasimah. And that's what some of the Gaonim asked. I think Rav Haigon asked that question, like why and where and how come and so on. So one of the explanations that I was trying to give when I was trying to explain the bracha Arukah for the Rambam, I was trying to explain earlier in the year that the Rambam really does think it's a Berachas HaMitzvah. What does he do with the objections of you know, the Rosh and the Ritva who say, you know, where do we find such a multi-themed bracha? Why are we speaking about Arayos? Why are we speaking about all the Isurim of Arusos? Why are we speaking about Mekadesh? So I was saying, similar to what I'm saying about Birchas Hasanim under the Chuppah, but with a different twist, obviously, because there it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and here I don't think it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Here I think it's just a kiyum and a description and part of the Hagdara, even though it's not Makev and Tachlit. But similar in that the brachos contribute substantive. What I was trying to say is, no, if you really understand the Rambam Sheet about Erisin and the Suin, so you would understand that Birchas Erisin, that long bracha with the Vitzivanu ala Rayos, Va'asar lanu es arusas, V'hitil lanu es hanesu es lanu, Ayidei chupa v'kiddushin, or whatever the Rambam's small Girsa changes are, is the perfect way to describe why this is the bracha. Why Rambam's trying to explain, why is it the Likuchin Eilem Mitzvah Saseh? Why isn't it the chupa? Like the Gemara thought of Moed Katan. Right, and why the contributions of the Eidei Kiyum and Erisin Kodim the Nesuin? Why is that the singular Jewish, you know, methodology here? The answer is no. That's the point. We're trying to, you know, establish that Kedushas Yisrael for Ishus for a Jew is a davar shebe kedusha, and these are the steps you have to do to ensure it, and that's why. The real mitzvah, Likuchin Eilem, mitzvah say, shel Torahim, and that's the key to understanding everything about the Rambam. So it's a perfect Birchas HaMitzvah. Similarly, that, you know, that concludes, Mekadesh Yisrael, or Mekadesh Yisrael, Nechubah V'Kedush is a perfect Chasima, because if you want something that's emblematic of Kedushas Yisrael, namely where you're using law to safeguard, and, you know, something which should be cherished and to protect it and to give it a certain, projected as a certain, you know, a certain spiritual ambition for it, right? Ein lecha, a greater example of that, of Kedushas Yisrael, than taking Ishus, which could be a really problematic institution or a very pragmatic one, and idealizing it and sanctifying it and so on. Moreover, the other element, back to our Kedushas HaTzibur point of view, it's Kedash Moshe of Yisrael and the Afkinhu, and the idea that I tried to develop, which is that basically there's a special Geirus that's limited to Ishus. There are requirements of Geirus, you know, which are not Ma'akev, you know, for, you know, Yeno Yainesach issues or other issues, but they are Ma'akev to marry a Bas Yisrael. And that's because, for the same reason that Bezdin has a special role to play in Ishus, and that's because Ishus is a Kedushas HaKlal Yisrael halacha, Kedushas HaTzibur halacha. Right? And that explains many of the things that we, you know, have been and will continue to be discussing, including why all of Klal Yisrael are included, you know, in this celebration and joy. There's a special Din Geirus. So that's why we say, Mekadesh Yisrael and Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Ayidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. Now, in addition to being emblematic of Kiddushas Yisrael, right, in a very, very dramatic way and in a very high profile area and in a very crucial area of family life, which is the building block of the Tzibor, in addition to that, this is the whole point. That's why there's Geirus L'Inyanishus, and that's why there are all these ideas. This is, you know, like being Bonech Achas Michurvos Yerushalayim, because it's the part of the building of the nation, etc. That's why Noki Yelabeso, that's why he doesn't go to war, right? All those things, because he's already serving the Tibor. And that's Mekadesh Yisrael as well. So why am I telling you all this now? I'm just trying to explain that for both of these reasons, you know, the fact that it is a great symbol, you know, in a high profile and what otherwise could have been a different perspective, the area of Kedusha and Kedushas Yisrael. And in addition to the Kedushas Klal Yisrael aspect of it, all of these may help us to explain the view of the Gaonim that you need a minion because it's a Dabar. It's like Barchu, it's like Kedusha, it's like, you know, Kaddish, you know, etc. There's Kiddush Hashem and Kedushas Yisrael that is reflected in all of this. If this is indeed based on Davar Shebekdusha, so I think it also would make sense that it's Ma'akev. It's certainly Ma'akev the brachos, meaning you can't say these brachos, you can't say Kedusha, right? You can't say Kaddish and you can't say Barcha without a minion. So presumably, Hu Adin Lagabe the rest. So that, for example, if you were to say that, and this is a Machlokas HaRishonim, that you can say Birchas Asher Bara, right, without a minion, not like the Ramban, but like other Rishonim, right? So you would have to come to one of two conclusions. You'd either have to say that Birchas Asher Bara is not a Birchas Chasanim, therefore you can get away without the minion, or you'd have to say that we don't accept this view that Davar Shebekdusha is the reason behind the definition of requiring 10, because then there should be no difference. If it indeed is Birchas Chasanim, there should be no difference between whether you say the full complement or one. You know, it's Baruch Hu and it's Kedusha and it's Kaddish, and so on. Okay, anyway, that's one model. What's the second model of why you would require 10? One is Davar Shebekdusha. We'll talk more about it in a minute. Second model? Jason?
Pearson Nelson.
Excellent. So, and again, in light of, again, that line of Mor Nevuchim, which admittedly I am significantly expanding and idealizing, you know, outside of its context. I don't have any problem with that, given what I think the Rambam's agenda is in Mor Nevuchim, and consistent with other things where we know that a Mishnah Torah is way more idealistic and expansive. But again, it's interesting to note that the Rambam said that chuppah and the requirement of 10 is piercing. And in the Gemara, of course, it works in as a model, even though it's a little bit indirect. How so, Yakir? What does the Gemara have as a model of piercing right here? The Gemara here talks about, you know, why it is that, you know, Boaz and so on. Right? The Gemara says, right, in the Persume Milsa, right, Aisa Biasara, the aim of the Choban Fayu, Hamazakala Uber Kana. So we don't, the impression you might get in the Gemara is that, in contrast, right, to the requirement of Asara in Birchas Chasan. Okay, but not impossible to say that maybe that particular Makar, but in general, you know, it's a model of where you would require Pearsome. Now again, is Pearsome only 10? Maybe it's more the merrier. Hard to say, but at least 10 Alpidin has a certain status of Pearsome. Okay. Anyways, with Mor Nevuchim, that certainly works nicely. Berovam Hadras Melach isn't based on Pearsome per se, but it's certainly an aspect of Shevach V'Hoda in which more is more, right? So that's a third model, Baravam Hadras Melech. Just so usually in Baravam Hadras Melech, do we find 10? Sometimes. Where do we find 10 Baravam Hadras Melech? Or multiple those kind of things? Maybe. If it isn't based. If it, what? Maybe. We'll talk about Bugilla in just a minute. Hard to know what the Bugilla case is, but maybe. That could also be Pearson, right? Or it could be something else, kind of a Dover Shabbat Dusha. A little bit. Okay, but Rav Amadus Melech, which Chel Srid mentions, is on the agenda. What else?
Orachar.
So that comes from where? The Sugi Megillah. If you look at the Gemara, the Mishnah, Megillah, so what is the, have the Mishnah there, Robbie? Oh, I guess we're all over time. So let's finish up this point for a minute. What? Kav Gimel? The Mishnah in Megillah, on the Chav Gimel Amud Beis, counts Birchas Chasanim. Go ahead, Rabbi, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Would you read the whole Mishnah quickly? Yeah. So it's a whole Mishnah which requires 10, including Birchas Chasanim. The problem is it includes other things. So some of the things that it includes are Dvarim Shebikdusha. Right? Which is exactly where the Gonim got it from. Right? But it also includes, what does the Gemara say about these things? Some of them the Gemara says based on Dvarim Shebikdusha. Yeah.
That's one.
What's that? What is Maimed Moshe?
So what does the Gemara apply to?
Yeah. What does it mean, Maimed Moshe? In Avelos, right? So, and you say all these psukim and so on, right? Make drushas. So they say you don't do that with less than 10 people. So Gemara says, why? Imdu, Yikarim. Right.
Shavo, Yikarim, Shavu.
Shvu. Imdu and Shvu, right? Right. So, and therefore, keep going.
So, Zir Me'asar, Lav Orachara.
Ah. So, what does that mean, Lav Orachara? What do you think? What does Lav Orachara mean? What does it mean? Well, I mean, technically what it means is, people don't do it. People aren't going to do that. But I think it means more than that. It's not seemly. There's a reason people don't do it. Okay, it's a tircha. I would say, too, it's a tircha. But the point is more than that, meaning you're going to do this motion of, you have three people show up to this person's funeral. Okay? And you're going to do all these stops and drushas and whatever. Right? It's not just the tircha and it's not usually done. It's not appropriate to do it because, sometimes when you overdo, and the context doesn't justify it, it backfires. Right? I mean, you're giving a state funeral to someone who, and no one shows up. Right? Better a quieter, more tzanua funeral if no one shows up. It's not kavod hames, frankly. It's too out of line with, the ceremonial part. When it's not justified. That's lav orachara, in my opinion. It technically just means lav orachara, meaning it's not done that way. But I think the point is, it's not seemly. There's a reason it's not done that way. Everybody understands that, there's a certain, line in purpose. You push it under certain conditions. Certainly in the context of kavod hames, you push it. But even then, you push it too far, it becomes a chucho tula. It backfires. It becomes a mockery. It just highlights how many people didn't show up. The contrast between the tiksiyut and the tochen, is just too big of a gap. It's not that you're extending kavod hames. You're being motzi. It's loig larash, essentially. Oh. So does that possibly apply to birchas chasanim? Absolutely. Meaning what? You're going to, you have the one person shows up and or 10 people show up, but no one knew, and you're going to go through the whole thing again. Right? No one else came. We're talking here about the requirement of a minyan, let's say. I mean, you're having the same meal around the table. It cheapens the other ones. Right? It's lav arachara. You need a certain critical mass context, right? There has to be some fuss being made here, something different, something festive, right, to carry this off. Otherwise, it's lav arachara. But, for example, take what we were talking about before, might there not be a difference between the lav arachara of Sheva Brachos and the lav arachara of saying a single bracha during the Shiva Sveh Mishnah? Right? Again, if it's Dover Shubikdusha, you don't have that kind of luxury. You know, if it's Barovam Hadras Melach, probably don't have that kind of luxury. If it's, you know, Pirsum Anasuin, you probably don't have that kind of luxury. But if it's Lab Orachara, right? Okay, to go through the whole Shevbrox and pretend that you're reenacting the wedding, or just, you know, for that, to carry that off, you need, you know, a certain gravitas, you know, level celebration. But to say one bracha, especially if that's what you're supposed to be doing during the week, not necessarily. Okay. Again, we find different models, and there could be important enough. Megillah, somebody mentioned as a model. You need a minyan. If you have a Megillah, if you have Kriyas HaMegillah, right, Shalom Bezmana. Well, it's Machlokas, actually, right? Ravasi and the Chachamim and Suga Megillah, whether or not, if you read the Megillah Shalom Bezmana, you require a minyan or not. There's some debate among the Rishonim and then the Poskim. By minyan, do we mean minyan or do we mean 10? Can women count, let's say, for that? Right, anything that's to do with Dover Shabakdusha or real minyan, obviously, women don't count. But if we're talking about Barovam Hadras Melach, let's say, or Pirsum, like in Megillah, could be Pirsume Nisa. If Megillah is more like, oh, Kriyas HaTorah, it's patterned after Kriyas HaTorah, Megillah Ikri Sefer, Megillah Ikri Geras, right? But on the safer part, so there are a lot of overlap with Kriyas HaTorah. So then you need men, and it's more like Dover Shabakdusha. So what we're saying is, you know, there are two dinim in Kriyas HaMegillah, and we only allow one of them before it's time. Right? In the kfar. Fine. But if it's based on Pirsume Nisa or Barova Madras Melach, right? Some people talk about, you know, is there some yichus of doing Megillah in a shul dafka as opposed to somewhere else based on Barova Madras Melach. Maybe there's another, like Knosa Yehudim, might be a different issue. Okay, not for now. Kiddush Aran, Balit, there's a lot of discussion about that. But anyways, who included in the 10? Kiddush Hashem is another great example. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Nafayim Dalar Omed Beis, that what Farhesia for Kiddush Hashem, right, requires 10. There's a debate among the Rishonim, two interesting debates. Number one, in the Meiri, 10 who know about it or 10 who are present. That's one issue. Two, right, are we talking about later posts can discuss men or Jews, and what about Ketanim, right? So if you're talking about Chil Hashem Barabim, that's not Dover Shemekdusha per se, that's about Pirsum. Pashto Samiri says, I think other Rishonim say clearly, men and women, maybe Gedolim, maybe also Ketanim. That might be an interesting, different kind of a question, right? But similarly, what is the 10 that you need here? The Pashtus, you need really a minyan, right? If we found anybody who said that, Nashim or Ketanim serve in the minyan, the Ram says Avadim and Ketanim, no, and the Farshim understand Kol Shekain, women, no, but basically, this would be one of the possible nafkamina. The Ritva says explicitly that only men and not women are included in this. What will happen in two situations we should discuss, and we'll pick up with this tomorrow. Number one, b'di'eved, if there's no minyan. Let's say there's some urgency to do the chuppah. That's a Tshuva Sarajba and the Pisrei Tshuva that I alluded to before. Secondly, what about Amida? Do you have to say these brachos, or at least Lechatkila, say these brachos standing, or not? Okay, so we'll talk about a couple of those things. And then, back to, in light of all that, I want to go back to Simcha and Bracha, and Almon and Almon on the various shittos there, and then we'll, after that we'll talk about Asher Bara and Chas Simcha B'mono, because they all come up together. Okay. You're in the mood.
Oh, I mean, I expected when we first read the